Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Anthony of Padua. I just want to read you this little summary of his life. He was born in Lisbon, Portugal, near the end of the 12th century. He joined the canons regular of St. Augustine, but shortly after ordination to the priesthood, he transferred to the Friars Minor to devote himself to spreading the faith among African peoples. He had his greatest success, however, preaching in France and Italy and converting heretics. He was the first member of his order to teach theology to his brethren. His sermons are notable for their learning and their gentleness. St. Anthony of Padua, pray for us. The opening prayer today says this: Almighty, ever-living God, who gave St. Anthony of Padua to your people as an outstanding preacher and an intercessor in their need. So he preached to the people, but he also spent long hours interceding to God for them and asking God to give him the words that would change their hearts. Grant that with his assistance, as we follow the teachings of the Christian life, we may know your help in every trial. Make that prayer your own today. Lord, give us the grace to intercede for others. Give us the grace that as we follow you, as we follow what you've taught us in the Christian life through the Gospels, we may know your help in every trial. We have lots of trials in our lives. Some are minor, some are major. God knows them all, and he wants to help us. But we need to actively seek him and to know that even though we might not hear an audible voice in return, every word we pray is heard. Oftentimes, God is just waiting till our motive gets purified or we surrender more to trusting him. We don't know all the reasons why God waits to end our trial. But we know that in every circumstance, in every joy and every trial, that if we live it with him and through him and in him, everything can draw us closer to him. Everything can bring us into deeper union with him. Everything. First reading for today is taken from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. Brothers and sisters, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over the hearts of the children of Israel. In other words, whenever Moses is read, the people still, there's a veil. They still don't comprehend what he was trying to communicate to them. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. All of us, look at this, all of us gazing with unveiled face on the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as from the Lord who is the Spirit. As we gaze on the face of God in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we seek to look at him and to know him, our faces, our actual physical faces begin to change. They radiate an inner beauty and glory and clarity. It can happen. But it doesn't happen just at a moment on a retreat when everything is peaceful. Or it doesn't happen on a day when just everything goes all right. It means that I gaze on the face of the Lord in the midst of my suffering, my trials, my loneliness, my lifelong burdens. I keep gazing, I keep seeking him, I keep longing for him. And as we do that, he will reveal himself to us. Part of seeking him is to obey his commandments. But it's also to take time before the Blessed Sacrament, to take time in adoration, just to stop in a church over the lunch hour, just sit with him, gaze upon him, seek him. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek, and you will find. This is how our faith grows, brothers and sisters. And when we least expect it, in a certain way, if I can put it in human terms, when we least expect it, he taps us on the shoulder and he says, "Hello, I'm here." We know his presence. We know that we know that we know. Seek him. The reward is greater than you can imagine. Seek him day in and day out, especially when things are difficult. And even sometimes more importantly, when things are going well and we think, "Oh, I've got everything handled now." That's a bad place to be in, even though it feels good. We want to be seeking him at all times. And when things are good, thank him. Use the time to thank him abundantly for the good things. When things are difficult, put your trust in him. He will not disappoint. Paul goes on to say, "Therefore, since we have this ministry through the mercy shown us, we are not discouraged. And even though our gospel is veiled, it is veiled for those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for the sake of Jesus." See, Paul understood, I'm your slave. I'm not your master. I'm your slave because I'm called by the goodness and mercy of God to bring you the truth. And I will serve you the truth no matter what it costs me. I can't pick and choose. I can't decide to and decide not. I am impelled because he found him and he was impelled to speak of him. We do not preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for the sake of Jesus. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to bring to light the knowledge of the glory of God on the face of Jesus Christ. The knowledge isn't just head knowledge, but it's to know the person, to recognize him, to see him in circumstances, to find him in other people's, to find him in the darkness of our own trials and tribulations, to see his face shining through. God will do that. God will do that for those who are faithful to him. By faithful, I mean, and I'll say it again, by faithful, I mean that we seek him day in and day out. We give him time in prayer. We repent of our sin. We frequent the sacraments. When we're following the Lord in this way, no matter how many mistakes we make or times we fail, if we repent and get back up, God blesses us. And as we're faithful to that, he draws near. Psalm 85 says, "The glory of the Lord will dwell in our land." And that's what happens when there are people who put him first in their lives. A people who want to obey him from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. As he sees that from the heavens, he draws near to his people. Remember in the city of Nineveh, when the intercessor was saying to the Lord, if you can only find 40 people or 30 people or 20 people or 10 people, would that be all right? And the Lord says each time, if you can find me even 10, even 5 righteous people. But they were not to be found. The Lord said, if you can find me 5 or 10 or even 1, I will save the world. But there were none in that period of history. If the Lord came down to earth today and said, can I find 50 righteous people in the United States or in Canada or in other countries of the world, wherever you're listening to this program, you don't know who really is in your country who is righteous, but the question you can answer is, am I one of them? Sometimes, as the Old Testament tells us, God will spare a whole nation for the sake of those who are righteous. Are you one of them? The Gospel, Matthew 5, verses 20 to 26. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What does he mean by that? I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees defined righteous as those who obeyed the letter of the law, and they ended up becoming enslaved to it because that was their end, their goal. But brothers and sisters, what righteousness really means is those people who want the will of God, really, genuinely want the will of God because they know it will lead to eternal life. Sometimes we're afraid of the will of God. I admit that. I certainly can be sometimes. But the more I put my trust and my faith in him, the more I say, your will be done in my life. Your will be done in my life every day, through every relationship, through every circumstance, through every responsibility that I have, through my recreation, through other people. Lord, I want to follow you and I want to do your will. That is the definition of a righteous person. Are you righteous? Do you want the will of God? You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, see, Jesus is upping the ante because he's with us now, and he can empower us. That's why he came. And so he ups the ante, and he says, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, whoa, you're coming to Mass. You're coming to worship the Lord. And you remember that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift at the altar, go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Jesus is saying we need to reconcile with our brothers and sisters so that our offering at Mass will be acceptable to him. If we come to Mass with our hearts hardened, where is the worship and praise of God? So brothers and sisters, the questions for all of us are right here in the Gospel. Will I follow the word of the Lord or not? God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.